Oh, welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the naturopathic physician who is also holographic. Thought I'd mix it up a little bit for everybody. My special guest tonight is Crystalia Marie of EmpoweredSpirit.com, and I have something wrong with my mouth today. Welcome to the show, Crystalia.
Thanks, Dr. Valerie.
This is going to be kind of fun and maybe kind of scary, listeners. So kind of sit down and get ready. One of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight is something that all of you have been really worried about. And I know that because I've gotten emails and I've gotten phone calls and everything else. We're going to be talking about flu. And before we really get into, you know, our way of getting rid of flus and things, I'm probably going to scare the crap out of everybody. So it's one of those days, Crystalia, you know.
Oh, goody. Let's have some fun scaring people, huh? That's what's going to happen today, huh?
That's what's going to happen today.
All right.
This is one of those what I call, you know, fear of God lectures.
Right.
And basically, the scary part's only going to be short because we really need to tell people what they can do about this stuff. And, you know, I've done a show on the, the regular flu and cold type stuff. And then tonight, I think I'd like to go a little bit more into, the bird flu. Okay, I said it. So, so let me have you go ahead and introduce yourself first. Tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do. And, you know, folks, she's been on the show before talking about the energy symbols that she creates. But go ahead and give them the story about how that happens and how you get this information, if you would.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back in time a little bit, even 10 years ago, because I like to look at how spirit tends to laugh at us sometimes. So I was introduced to images, symbols with Reiki, and I dismissed all of Reiki because of the symbols. I thought, well, that's crazy. I don't need some silly image in order to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's say, 5 years later, I was introduced to a woman that did soul retrieval with images, and someone handed me her book. I was in first class on an airplane reading this book, and suddenly I saw one of the images, and I couldn't stop sobbing.
Ooh.
And I kept closing the book. You know, the ego kicks in, nobody, everybody's going to think I'm silly because I'm in first class, right? So I'd open the book again, and I'd start to cry again. So I realized at that point that images really do affect us.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some work with her and learned her processes. And about 2 years later, I discovered I had a lump the size of a golf ball in one of my breasts.
Mm.
And I decided I was doing everything alternative. I was not going to go have it checked out by any doctors. I wasn't doing any of that. So I started doing the medical intuitives and every holistic thing. It was before I met you, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't even have it examined.
Mm-hmm.
And the medical intuitive, and I shifted it, changed its shape and all this. I did soul retrieval. I did everything I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going away. And one day the medical intuitive said to me, I see images floating around you. You need to go meditate and figure out what those are. So I started drawing. I drew about 60 images the first day.
Wow.
And Spirit didn't tell me what any of them were for. I just kept drawing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this huge download. And 2 weeks later, I finally got another image that I was told to use it to remove the lump from my breast.
Mm.
And I was kind of guided in a 20-minute process about self-nurturing, used the image on my breast, and it removed the lump instantly.
Wow.
Got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've gotten over 300 images, and I use them for everything from my nutritional supplements to appendicitis to removing cancer from my blood, and I've shared them with lots of other people. I know you've used them and others, and they've just been phenomenal.
And I would agree with that. You know, I as my listeners know, I have to try everything myself. So, I have to read the books of the people I have on the show. I have to try their products and workshops and all those kinds of things because I need to know that whatever I'm talking about works this way or that way or whatever. And so, of course, you know, I decided I had to try out this stuff when I heard the teleseminar that you and Misa and Ariane were doing. And I guess we've been friends since that day. but it was kind of interesting because I really didn't have a need to use the antiviral kit that I had purchased. But I bought it because I thought, you know, if there is an easier way to get rid of viruses, then I need to know what it is, because the body has no defense against viruses. And, you know, if you go to the hospital, they'll tell you they have antiviral medications. Yeah, right. They've been using antivirals on HIV patients for a long time. And, yeah, they help a little bit, but they're also extremely toxic. So I kept thinking there's got to be something, and I'm always looking for that more elegant answer. And I have to tell you, listeners, the first time that I had cause to use the antiviral kit, which includes sound medicine from Misa, and that one had crystals from Ariane and the symbols from Crystallia, I used that, and I put the symbol face down on the palm of my left hand, and I listened to Misa's sound medicine, and I had the crystals in my right hand. And I swear, it took maybe 2 seconds of getting that all together and turning on the CD, and I felt the energy coming up my arm. It was like electrifying. And I was just laying there going, wow, that's really interesting. And it just sped up my arm, and it went into my thymus, which is, you know, the seat of your immune system.
All right.
And it just went through my whole body, and I felt this energy go throughout. And the cold virus or flu or whatever I had was gone. And I thought, wow, that's some powerful stuff. I really like that. So that really piqued my interest. Now, here's where I get to the scary part. So let me just tell people why I'm real concerned about all this. You know, people have been talking to me about the bird flu, and I tell them, yeah, I'm not really worried about it. Well, there's a number of reasons I'm not worried about it. First of all, because I know that we have an antiviral kit that works.
Right.
And secondly, most of the people that I see have got impaired immune systems. The bird flu only hits those people between the ages of 20 and 40, generally, who have really, really great immune systems. And it will hit them preferentially. And the saying is that if you get the bird flu by 8 a.m., you'll be dead by 8 p.m. Now, let me go into why.
That's scary.
Yeah. Like I said, fear of God lecture. Now, the reason that that happens is because your immune system goes crazy trying to kill it off. But remember, I said the body really doesn't have any defense against viruses. It has defense against bacteria. It has a little bit of defense against certain funguses. And it pretty much has nothing against viruses. So what happens is the virus comes in and it triggers your immune system to react. The stronger your immune system, the stronger the reaction. And normally, it's going to take 2 or 3 days for the interferon in your body to build up enough to really start working against anything that's going on. So, you know, first you have to have your temperature go up, and there's this whole cytokine flood that happens, and, you know, chemicals going back and forth all over through your body, and messengers, and it's like a war, you know, it's like starting a war.
Wow.
The problem is that if you have a really severe reaction, certain of these cytokines are inflammatory, way inflammatory, and so you have an allergic reaction, basically, and it hits in your lungs, it floods your lungs, and you basically drown. So this is why a lot of people were dying from it. Now, here's the other scary part. They dug up some Inuit Indians who had died of the flu in 1918, you know, the flu that basically halted the war.
Right.
Okay, and I forget how much of the world's population died, but it was something like 1 billion people or so. And so it was like 2/3 of the world's population at the time. Well, when they dug these Indians up, what they found was that this particular 1918 flu is the bird flu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's very scary, and people were literally turning blue and dying and you know, coughing up blood and everything right in front of the doctors. The doctors couldn't do anything. We really have no defense. Here's the other thing, too. I was just listening to something on that was on, the beginning of January, I think it was, And the doctor that was talking about it, he's written a book about it and everything, and hopefully I can get him on the show sometime. But basically what he said was, you know, honestly, there's nothing we can do. So he said the first time that it becomes an epidemic and a pandemic, he said, I'm gathering my family and I'm running to the hills. And he said, all of you people that are bragging about the guns you have and the food and how you're all prepared for such a thing, he said, you're going to be the first ones hit because people are going to remember you said that and they're going to come after you because they're going to want to upgrade their situation, which, of course, is human nature. You start to panic and all this stuff goes on. So now we're going to talk about what to do to minimize the effects of this flu in a little bit. But the really scary thing is that they're estimating that it's going to kill at least 1 billion people when it really gets hold again, and it's already in the United States. The first case that they found was in Virginia.
How long ago was it that they found the first case?
That was, I believe it was last year or the year before.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's already here.
Right.
Now, so far, they're saying that they don't think that it's mutated to the point of going from bird to human. However, there were humans that had it. And there's humans in China that have died of it.
Right.
Okay, so the problem is that flu virus has a tendency to mutate. And the reason that people survive AIDS now is because the virus mutated and became less virulent. The problem with the bird flu is you don't know which way it's going to go. It could become less virulent. It could become more virulent. And so the thing that's going for it is that, you know, it will kill the victim very quickly, which means that the spread is less likely. Like Ebola virus, you know, it kills so fast that the likelihood of spreading is kind of small. The only problem is, and this was what shocked me, I just found out that that particular flu virus can live on a surface for up to 39 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so now just think of the surfaces that you touch in a day. Every time you go into a store and you pick up a box and look at it or a can, or you touch a door.
Right.
You got to wash your hands.
Yeah, and if you think about the video that I just saw the other day about how some of the hotels aren't even cleaning the glasses that people drink out of properly.
Yeah.
You think you're even in safe space and you're not even thinking about it at all. You're not even aware, and suddenly you could pick it up that way as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's spread by droplet transmission or respiratory. Now, one of the things that's really bad about respiratory, and I think they showed this in a movie, it was Outbreak or something like that many years ago. They had a movie about that, and they showed somebody sneezing in a crowded theater. Well, these sneezes can go up to 15 feet.
Right.
So, and maybe more. You know, they've tracked some of these sneezes are like at 200 miles an hour.
Right.
So the question is, what are you going to do against a virus like that the body has no defense against, but it's going to try to mount a defense, and it's actually the action of the body trying to stop the viral invasion that kills you. And, you know, so you've been boosting your immune system all this time, and you're in great health. You'd be the first one to die. You know? How's that for ironic?
Yeah. That's a pretty scary thought.
Yeah, so, I mean, I started thinking about this really heavy and going, you know, the only thing we can do is we have to do something that's outside the box. Now, the symbols that you put together are definitely outside of the normal conventional medical box.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, if we combine the sound medicine healing that Misa does, and you know, you combine different stones and things like Ariane does, and then you hit it with my whoop butt tincture, otherwise known as magic flu juice, then you have a pretty good way of combating this stuff. And the other thing, and this is the most important thing, is if people in your town start to get sick with the bird flu, and we're hoping this isn't going to happen, but all the experts are saying it will happen within the next few years. The problem is that you can't go to work, you can't go to the store, you can't let your kids go to school. You're going to have to just isolate yourself. And they're saying that there's going to be at least 2 or 3 waves of this that come through. And so if you're a social person and you refuse to lock yourself away, then you're increasing your risk. So this is, you know, this is a little bit different than the ordinary flu. The ordinary flu, we only worry about the very young and the very old being killed from it.
Right.
And it's because it's debilitating. But when you look at this new one, well, it's really an old one, but when you look at this bird flu, you know, the chances are it's going to mutate fairly soon if it hasn't already. And like I said, there have been cases of human infection, and people have died from it, so that tells me it's already mutated. And you've got a government over there in China that wants to believe that they have no problem, and so they're not going to allow anybody to know it. You know, they keep claiming there's no problem. And so, you know, then you've got all these people that are going around and just really creating havoc. Like, look what happened with the SARS epidemic. And that particular one was genetically engineered to wipe out Asians, certain types of Asians. And
right.
So, you know, that's all the stuff that's coming out about it now. And it did. And what they had was a lady who had been traveling to China, got sick, and there she was on the airplane. She infected everybody on the airplane, and the airplane went to Canada, and several of those people died.
Right. Yeah, I think that we have to really realize that any one of these governments has a very vested interest, though, in not letting it out to the population, because imagine what it will do to their economy if suddenly no one wants to travel to their country,
mm-hmm.
or buy products even from their country because the products could be contaminated with it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really scary because no one's going to tell you if it's starting to spread.
Exactly. And they're not going to tell you because the first country that comes out and says, wow, we found this, they're instantly quarantined from the rest of the world.
Right.
So that is economic death.
Right.
Now, the other thing that I heard that just cracked me up was that President Bush had signed over powers to the United Nations to take care of us in the event of a pandemic, which is really funny because the United Nations is in New York City.
Yeah.
Which is where you do not want to be if there's an epidemic.
Oh, right. I could think of a lot of better places than New York City to be when there's an epidemic.
Yeah, exactly. And
just
so,
about anywhere.
Yeah, just about anywhere is right. And so, you know, the major problem that we have is not only that this could kill people, but there would be a wave of people that would not survive because of the loss of power, the loss of water, you know, the extreme pandemonium in the streets. Because just think of it, you know, you got a lot more people in the world now, billions and billions of people. And what happens if two-thirds of them die?
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, to say the least, you know, there would be dead bodies all over the place. They've already got plans where they have certain buildings where they have planned to take the bodies in such an event and just set the buildings on fire.
But even if they do something like that, you can't be sure that that's not going to spread the virus out into the air.
Well, right. And the problem, too, is how are they going to put the fire out? You know?
Yeah.
There's no water. Because the people who work in these things all of a sudden aren't there. And
right.
you look at a place like America, and we are so heavily dependent on what they call the infrastructure. You know, I mean, if the trucks stop rolling because you can't get gas, or because the truck drivers are sick or dead, then you have immediately isolated most of the major cities in the U.S.
Yeah, that's very true. And it doesn't take long because, if you think about it, they also are servicing all the airlines with
mm-hmm.
fuels and all of that stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. So there's just that. And then you've got, you know, the hospitals. And you have no way to get medicines because, you know, everything that we have practically is outsourced. So
right.
It comes from other countries.
Right.
And so what happens if that all grinds to a halt?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You'll have no water, you'll have no food, you'll have no power. Now, you know, here we don't have to worry about too much. Even when it snows, it's not that bad, you know. But, I mean, you know, if you're back east and you have an ice storm, what are you going to do? Or if you're, well, in the southwest in the summer, like Phoenix, you'd bake to death. You know, so, I mean, there's all these little things that people don't think about. And, you know, so the best thing that they can do is isolate themselves if they think that there is a flu around. Or if you just get that feeling like maybe you don't want to travel outside, Yeah, maybe you better listen to that. You know, stay inside and get yourself one of these little antiviral kits and you know, keep your family isolated. And when you go out, you wear a mask because the respiratory masks, there are certain masks that are approved. They're NIOSH approved. That's NIOSH. And any hospital worker already knows what I'm talking about. They have like this little funky button thing like in the center of it, and it's kind of a soft, puffy kind of a cotton mask. And most hospital workers have to be fitted with those as part of the TB training. You have to wear that whenever you deal with anyone with TB because it's so highly contagious. And that also, of course, killed off a lot of people, but that's a fungal infection. So so when you're looking at something like the flu, you know, you would have to wear a mask all the time when you're outside. And
right.
Then you would have to hope that you have enough bleach or whatever to kill off, you know, any viruses, because here you're talking a virus that can survive outside of the body for up to 39 days on all kinds of surfaces. And you know how many people cough and sneeze without covering their mouths.
Right. I mean, you could get it on your clothes and take your clothes off over your head without your mask on and be contaminated.
Right. And then even if that didn't happen, you know, if they cover their mouth, then, you know, they wipe it on their clothes or whatever, and they go on and they open doors and everything else. And you come along, do-do-do-do-do, I'll just open this door, no problem. And you've got your little mask on, but your hands are now contaminated.
Right.
And, you know, we did something when I was in the hospital. I've had to do this many, many times. But when I first started, the thing that impressed me was they have this stuff they call glow bugs. And it's a little gel, and it's got little teeny tiny things in it. They're supposed to represent germs.
Okay.
And you can visualize them. They use the fluorescent, you know, black light to show these little bugs, right? So they would have everybody just take a drop of this stuff and just, you know, rub it on their hands. And they'd have some people where they would just say, well, just go shake hands with this person. And you have like three or four people down the line that didn't put the stuff on their hands. They just went and shook hands with this person. Or the person would go and open the door first and then everybody come after, you know. So they had different things that they'd show you like that. And then they'd tell the people that had put it on their hands, all right, now go to the bathroom and wash your hands the way you normally wash your hands. And so I'm thinking, well, no problem, because, you know, my mom's a nurse, and so I know how to scrub the skin off of your hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we all go off and we wash our hands. And so we come back, and I had very few, but I still had some of those little glow bugs stuck in the creases of my hand. Most of the people, hospital workers now, most of those people had so many of these bugs on their hands, they were just literally covered with them. Okay, then the next thing that was amazing was the people who came afterwards who would represent the unsuspecting people. You know, they open the door or they shake hands or whatever. They were covered with them. Then the interesting thing was when they put the black light over their clothes and their faces, you know, and the germs were all over their faces, they were in their hair, they were all over their clothes, and everybody was going, oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a kind of a fun experiment, you know. If you want to try that at home, you can go get some glow bugs, you know, and really shock your friends and neighbors. But that just points out how easy it is to get these little things passed around and why an epidemic and a pandemic happens. So
Dr. Valerie, where would somebody get one of those masks you were mentioning? I think I'm right ready to go run out and get one, even though I have my little virus kit here.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's a good idea to make sure that you're okay. You can get them from any hospital supply. Also, you can, you know, like from home health supply places, you know, medical supply houses. You can also get them from county health departments. You can go in and you have to be fitted and you have to have a little training video, you know, on how to wear the mask to make sure that it works and all that kind of stuff. And there's different sizes and it has to fit your face right. So for the guys that have facial hair, that's a problem because, you know, you're not going to get a tight seal as long as you've got facial hair. But, you know, you can talk to your local county health department about that. And, you know, there's safety equipment places also that carry it. I can't think of any of the names of them right now, but there's big companies, you know, that carry all kinds of masks and respirators and everything else. So you can just Google it. Just put antiviral face mask or something, or put NIOSH approved TB mask. So you can find it, and they're I think they're running around somewhere between $10 and $20 a piece.
Oh, that's pretty inexpensive insurance, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, it behooves all of us to really take better care of ourselves as far as, you know, preventing the spread of such diseases, because, you know, all of the signs are right for this. And, you know, there's a lot of people, us included, that have been saying something big is happening.
Right.
We don't know what it is. It may be a combination of something man-made along with some natural disasters, but we're all feeling it. And we're all feeling like something's going to happen this year. Well, what if this is what's going to happen?
Yeah, we really don't know. And I know when you were introduced to the images and to the sound medicine and met Nisa and myself and Ariane, we were all talking at that time about a waterborne virus that we felt had been, was a chemical virus dumped into the water system.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, a lot of people had some really good results with the medicine using that. But, you know, between our water and our air, we're screwed if anything big like this comes up and just takes off, because it'll just spread so fast. There's no way.
Oh yeah,
people aren't going to know what to do.
Yeah, that's the problem. And so now that I've scared the crap out of everybody in the audience, sorry guys, but you know, every once in a while we have to go beyond the nicey nice stuff and go to the hard cold facts. But now that we've done that, one thing that I want to say to everyone is that you can survive anything. You know, but let's make it so that you're not miserable while you're doing it. And so, you know, if you just take a few precautions, you know, like have enough water so that you can go for weeks without, you know, a problem with water supply. And no, you can't take baths. You know, you just have to do a little spit bath, you know. But, you know, you have to have enough food. And really, you should have enough food and water to last you for a month if you can. Not gasoline. You know, please avoid storing gasoline under your bed like the fools did when we had the gas crisis years ago. You know, it's just not a good idea. So, you know, but water and food, you know, warm clothing or some way to get to someplace cool if you're in a hot area. I heartily suggest that you get yourself the antiviral kit that my friends here have put together, because I know it works. And I'm here to tell you, you know, I'm very energetically sensitive, which a lot of you listeners know. And when I felt this stuff moving through my body, I knew that this was something that is going to help on these things that we have no conventional medicine for. And you know, same thing with tinctures. You know, I mean, there's no guarantee that the tincture is going to work either, because it's a gross level medication, and anything on the gross physical level will work to a certain point. When you're combating something that's so quick moving as this virus and spreads so easily and lasts for so long, you may need something that goes beyond the normal gross physical level, which is what energy medicine is all about.
Right.
So, you know, I think that that's a good point for people. And why don't you describe to the people what these things actually look like? You know, what comes in the kit, and, you know, how would you actually use this?
Well, there, like you mentioned, there's sound medicine as well as the symbols in the particular kit we're talking about. The sound medicine is something you're going to listen to on a periodic basis. I recommend, and I know Mises pretty well recommends the same thing. She says to listen in the morning and evening, and then maybe a couple other times during the day if you've definitely already got something or you're feeling down or anything like that. No more than, you should have at least a couple hours between listenings, because you want to let it integrate before you move, you know, before you listen again, because the energy needs to assimilate before you start shifting more. So that's kind of how the sound medicine works. And I can tell you, as an example, I'm living in the house of somebody that is totally not interested in alternative medicine, had a really severe cold this past week. And when you're in that environment and they're sneezing and coughing and using the same dishes, you got to find a way to keep from picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally picked up the CD and listened to it and then wore some of the cymbals just in my bra, actually,
mm-hmm.
and never got the cold like he had. I mean, it was really, he had a horrendous cold. So the way the cymbals work is a little bit different. And I know you mentioned you held it in your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people to hold them in their non-dominant hand, whichever hand that is, because
mm-hmm.
that's usually the most sensitive energy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they can use them by visualizing them, or just, like I said, I put them in my bra and wear them. So it just kind of depends on what you're working, you know, what you're able to do as well. You're going to be going out and you want to keep some of this with you, put it in your pocket, put it inside of your clothing. I know some people actually tape them to their bodies, and they work. And it's a matter of shifting the energy in the body. Now, the kit, the sound medicine is for cold and flu for one track, and then the other one is for building the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
They have two tracks on the sound medicine CD. The Empower Pack includes a set of, about, 16 different symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes some belief replacement processes as well, because a lot of people also focus their intention on getting something. So it's really important, especially in a critical situation like the bird flu, like you're talking about, where people have to stay very positive and not be focused on the fear of getting
mm-hmm.
the virus, because that's a huge part of it. So there's a process there for that. There's also some symbols in there for the DNA and RNA to repattern and balance, because that will help the body know what to do to defend against these different viruses that are totally foreign to it today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's, I was just thinking that you might want to leave off the immune building part, you know, if you're talking bird flu, but
right.
But instead go with, you know, things that incapacitate the virus, and definitely changing the belief system. Because here's one of my fears. You know how I'm always talking to you about the people's belief systems and how much it bugs me that they're stuck in these systems. And the first thing they say is, I can't help it. And the first thing I say is, yes, you can. You're the only one that can help it. You know, change your belief system. And so I'm really happy that you have that in the kit, because that's the biggest thing. I mean, I could tell you story after story of people that I saw in the hospital who had every reason to live, and they died because of their belief system. And it shocked the hell out of all of us, because we went, there was no reason for this person to die. They were getting better.
Right.
And then I've seen people who had no right to be alive. I mean, I have seen some strange things, including a guy with half of his brain shot out, you know, and they're alive. And you go, why?
Right.
And the whole reason is because it ties into your belief system.
Yeah, it ties into that belief system and that focused energy and power to say, this is what I know,
mm-hmm.
not even belief, know is going to happen. I have a cute story with a virus from a couple years ago. I was actually in a meeting where I constantly was hugging everybody. I was actually the greeter at the door. And it was in Michigan, middle of winter. Everybody had flus and colds, and
mm-hmm.
I flew in for this meeting, and I'm hugging everyone, and everybody is saying to me, oh, don't hug me, you're going to get the cold or flu.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, I never get sick. 2 days later, I was really sick. And I realized that I had said I never get sick, and the subconscious heard, I get sick. It missed the never.
Right, because never doesn't exist.
Right, and that's part of my whole belief transformation process, is teaching people how to be careful about their wording, because that by itself, I told the whole universe, yep, I never get sick. Right, I got sick. The next time it happened, a year later, I had the same thing happen. And I said, each time I hugged each person, I said, I always stay healthy.
Ah.
I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that simple, because you got to be careful about what you're saying, what you're believing, how you're, you know, what you're putting out to the universe, because what you put out there is what you're going to get back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we're all fighting the negative things that we've said so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, same thing with me. Like, people look at me and, you know, I'd have sometimes, you know, five patients sitting there with IVs who were hacking and coughing and just sick as dogs, and everybody would be looking at me and going, oh, how come you're not sick? And I'd say, well, I believe that the doctor is the one who has to stay well. And so I do. You know, I scarcely get anything like that kind of stuff. And if I do, I immediately examine, why did I get that? And 9 times out of 10, it's because I've just gotten tired and I really don't want to be bothered. And so it's kind of like my isolation policy, you know. You know, if you're really goopy and sneezing and stuff, people kind of back away from you. So when I realize I'm doing that, I just quit answering the phone, and I just, you know, I take my whoop butt tincture and I just kind of rest and just honor my body for a little while and go,
right.
Listen, you know, let's just get rid of this. We don't need to be sick, and, you know, let's just, you know, let it go. And so normally, you know, I kick out of it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's my belief system.
Right.
And so listeners, you know, if you change your belief system, it'll make a huge difference in your survival rate, you know, when these terrible things come along. Because, I mean, a lot of times we're dosed. You know, our government just considers us to be chattel. And so it will experiment with us, supposedly for the good of the populace, which is a bunch of baloney. But anyway, they'll experiment with us. And, of course, now, you know, years later, you'll find out what they actually did. And, I mean, I know you can tell when you've been dosed by the government. And the way you can tell is because there's no geometric progression. Disease has a geometric progression. One person gets sick and infects two, and they infect two, and they infect two, and it goes like that. And so it might take a month for the majority of the people in the city to get ill. Well, when you have a majority of the people in the city that all get ill at the same time, you know you've been dosed.
Right.
You know, because that's just not the way that normal disease works. You have to have, you know, time for the transmission and the incubation and all that kind of stuff. So so there have been many instances in our history where we've had these things happen, like the famous Russian flu back in the early 70s, which killed off 4% of the population, which the government considers to be, you know, fine. You know, that's a reasonable risk as far as they're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to ask yourself, what's really going on with all this stuff, you know? And I don't like to delve really deep into conspiracy theories because I think it's extremely depressing, you know?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Yeah, it's depressing to find out what the truth is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm always thinking about is, okay, how do we get past this? How do we thwart what some idiot has thought up to torture us with, you know, just for the sake of being able to do it? And you know, how do we keep ourselves happy and safe in our lives? And, I mean, I know that your symbols work. You know, I've used them. They're easy. You know, you just lay down for a few minutes and, you know, keep these things next to you. And I was thinking in the case of the bird flu, it might be best to put the antiviral symbol, to make two of them and stick one on each of your lung one alarm points, which is kind of, you know, if you put your hand between your arm and your collarbone and right about in the line where you know, you connect to the underarm.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, halfway between that area and your collarbone, you'll find there's a real sensitive spot there. And it'll be more sensitive, extremely painful if you have anything going on with your lung. But that's called lung one in acupuncture. It's the alarm point of the lung. And I'm thinking that would be a really good place to tape a symbol to your body.
Right.
Because then you're dealing directly with the lung. You can also do it on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it runs down your little finger and you know, down the inside of the arm.
Right.
But the most important point is that lung one.
Right.
And so what I'm suggesting to people is that they start putting together an emergency kit for just these kinds of things. And be prepared, because people, I got to tell you, you know, if or when this bird flu hits, when it goes to full human transmission, then there is no one that's going to be available to help you. You will not be able to go to a hospital. They will turn you away because there's nothing they can do. Or if they take you in, they may take you into one of those buildings where they're just going to, you know, set it on fire once, you know, most of the people are sick enough or dead. And, you know, I mean, that would be horrible. So, you know, because, I mean, this is the thing where you're coughing up blood from the lungs and you can't breathe and, you know, you're in a massive allergic reaction and you're turning blue and, Yeah, it's really awful. So what I'm suggesting is that you realize that there are certain things that could happen that you need to isolate yourself from the rest of the world for.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest, most important piece when you're talking something that big is you've got to isolate yourself. But if you don't have something, some kind of an energy medicine or something that's going to help you survive it, you're, you know, so what? You get isolated and you still get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have, like you're talking about, the water and different things in your little survival pack or you still won't survive. So.
Right, and you want to have blackout drapes, too, because you don't want anybody to know that you have light or that you have food or water. Then you have secondary problems, you know?
Right, that's true. That's very true as well. And, you know, I also include in this kit a water purification symbol that I've gotten. So I would even purify any extra, any water that you have to bring in afterwards. You know, I'd still purify it the best you can. Because obviously it could be transmitted into the water some as well, as you talked about.
Right, because if it doesn't require body temperature to survive, then you got a problem.
Right.
So so why don't you go ahead and give your contact information and the prices and all that so that people that are interested can start ordering, because I bet you there's a bunch of people sitting there right now going, well, is this kit for sale?
It absolutely is for sale, and we set up a special web page for it called energytuneup.com. It's just energytuneup.com, and that's where you can get that kit. It's $97 right now. It's normally $227. We've reduced the price because we all care about wanting to help people get a way to keep themselves healthy. Not only from the bird flu, but even if you got a cold or flu now, there's symbols in those kits to include to help with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually got a flu symbol as well as a couple other virus symbols and a cold virus symbol in that kit. And a cough symbol that's awesome. When you really have a really bad cough and you need to stop it for a while so you can rest, it stops it instantly. So there's a good variety here. So anyway, energytuneup.com, so it's just E-N-E-R-G-Y, tuneup.com, and you'll find the kit there. It's right now for $97. It includes all the symbols we talked about, and it includes the sound medicine CD with both the cold and flu track as well as the immune builder track. Now, the cold and flu track works for all the viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if we're talking about the bird flu, don't use the immune track.
Yeah. Stay away from that one until you're all done with it, because you don't want to beef up your immune system for that.
Right.
And in the sound medicine, too, if you haven't heard sound medicine before, it sounds really weird. But Misa is an opera-trained singer, and this is kind of like toning on steroids, you know? I mean, it's really interesting. You know, parts of it are beautiful, other parts of it are really strange, and, you know, you don't have to listen to it at full blast. If it bothers you, just put it on in the background and just go about your day and you know, do whatever you have to do, and you're still getting it because this is the quantum physics of it, you know, the frequencies of sound and light and symbols. I mean, that's all quantum physics. It's
right.
Ancient and it's modern.
Right. Just be aware you should only play one or both tracks one time and then wait a couple hours before you play it again. Let your body integrate what's happened to it up to that point and then play it again a little later. I actually like to listen to the sound medicine with a headset on, but it absolutely works if you just play it in the room like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing people should be aware of, do not play it while driving a car.
Oh, yeah, because you could trance out.
Yeah, I have a really cute story. I went to one of Mises. She had some sound medicine concerts here in Sedona. And one night I went to one of those, and I left the concert and was driving down the road in Sedona, and I got stopped for drunk driving. And I thought it was so funny, I busted out laughing at the police officer, which didn't help my cause very much, let me tell you. But I finally convinced him I wasn't drunk. But, yeah, you do have to be careful. You don't want to operate heavy machinery or drive a car when you've been and listen to the sound medicine, and even take a break after listening to it before you go out driving. So don't be listening to it and then hopping right in the car.
Yeah, because the thing, too, is, you know, when you're dealing with quantum physics stuff, it puts you in an altered state.
Right.
And so no matter what you're doing, you know, you're in a meditative-like state, because it's kind of like the gross body that we live in is kind of like a car, you know. So it's kind of like you've got your car up on the rack, and it's being worked on.
Uh-huh.
And so you can't very well drive down the street,
right,
you know, at that particular point. So you do need to, you know, pay a little attention to what's going on in the body, and then, you know, kind of wake yourself back up to this particular dimension. Because in order to affect these changes without using gross physical things, then you do have to go up to a different level. You've got to be in a different vibration. And, you know, that's what these things do, is help to put you up there in that level to where you can create change. Because all the change, disease and everything else, actually comes to you through your etheric level or higher.
Right.
And affects you that way. So that's why psychics and medical intuitives can see what's going on, because they can see it coming into your aura.
Right.
So
yeah, it does make sense that, you know, people have to realize what they're really shifting here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing too is, you know, of course, right now I know there's a bunch of listeners out there going, well, if that's true, then, you know, can't I just avoid the bird flu? Sure you can.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you pay attention to that, you know, and don't get scared about it. And I apologize for having to give you the scary lecture, but, you know, you really need to understand what's going on out there, you know, in this dimension. Okay, now that you know that and you know how important it is, let's change the belief systems and let's get prepared and let's make sure that we are safe.
Right. You know, and it's important to realize that, yes, any one of the people that are listening, they can create their own medicine, they can stay safe themselves. The question is, are you tuned up enough to do that yourself?
Exactly.
And if you're not, having one of these as a little safety measure for $97 is a pretty cheap insurance policy.
Well, and you know, what people need to understand, too, is if you had to go to the pharmacy and get a prescription, you'd be lucky if you got out of there for $97.
Absolutely.
And there's no guarantee that prescription was going to work. And I'll tell you right now, there isn't any antiviral that's going to work on this.
Right.
And, you know, people are talking about, oh, well, you know, there's going to be a vaccine. And it's like, okay, I just heard that the vaccine is at least 5 years away. And when they do a flu vaccine, that vaccine is, like, for the strain that happened the year before, because
right,
it takes a long time to do this. The other thing I found interesting, too, is, you know, we grow all of our vaccines, well, we use eggs. And so what they do is they punch a little hole in the egg, and they infect the egg with the virus, and they wait until it replicates and everything, and then they harvest it, and they make their vaccine. And the thing that shocked me is that they can't do that with this particular virus, because it kills the egg.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have to come up with brand new techniques for making a vaccine with this particular virus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow, that means they're a long ways from having something that's going to work.
They're very long ways. And then the other thing, too, is that I heard that you're most likely going to have a booster shot, and the question on the show I was listening to, they said, who's going to give you the booster?
Right.
You know, if half the people are dead, you know, who's going to be around to do that?
Well, and people, you know that what will end up happening is there's going to be people that are actually going to be fighting over the vaccines as well.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. The vaccines have to come from overseas.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
how will we get them here if everything's shut down?
Exactly. And so, you know, I got to tell you, too, people, I'm going to tell you again, if this thing hits, the doctors and the nurses and the respiratory techs and everybody that knows anything about this is going to leave. You know, you will not find them. They won't be home. They won't be at the hospital. You know, they're going to leave because it's the only thing they can do. There's nothing they can do for you.
Right.
So so here you've got the clue now on what to do for yourself.
Right.
And, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad I've got my virus pack.
Yeah, I'm glad I have my own, too.
Yeah. Yeah, this is scary stuff.
Yeah,
so,
and you know, in the interim, if someone even gets a cold or the regular flu, you know, this stuff works for that as well. So there's no use spending medicine spending money on medicines and things that really just mask the whole thing anyway.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can tell you, when I worked in the ER, we got everything that came down because we were the first line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come in the hospital and cough and sneeze on us, and the whole ER get pneumonia. And the next month, the whole ER get bronchitis. And the next month, the whole ER had the flu. You know?
Right.
Yeah. And so it kept on going like that. And I'm one of those people, if I take antihistamines, I feel like I'm walking through molasses in January. You know,
I know that feeling well. It's the same reaction I get.
Yeah, and so I would prefer not to take anything like that because it just puts me into slow-mo and I don't feel good and it takes forever to get rid of whatever it is. And, you know, when I worked in the ER, I had to take that stuff because I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't even do that. I mean, I have, like, one pill in my house that's a decongestant, and everything else I have is completely natural. And, you know, I was at one point where I didn't have the things I needed to make my whoop-butt tincture. And so I had the antiviral kit, and I went, well, what the heck? You know, I should use this.
Okay.
I put on that CD, I put that symbol on my hand, I put the crystals in the other hand, I was like, whoa, this stuff works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. I've used it, you know, in addition to these kits, I mean, I have lots of other symbols I use all the time, and even today, I mean, after having as many symbols and as many different experiences as I have, I am blown away by the simplicity of how these symbols work and how quick things change.
Oh, I know. It shocked me. I mean, I'm used to weird experiences, but I was really amazed at how quickly it worked. And, you know, why don't you give them your normal website, too, because there may be people that would be interested in, you know, learning about some of your other symbol kits.
Right, and I also do weekly teleseminars as well that share a lot of this information in more depth on different issues than just the cold and flu. So that would be Empowered, Empowered, Spirit, Spirit.com. And if you sign up for my newsletter or just a sample of the free symbols, you'll be on my list so that you'll get notified whenever there's any free teleseminars and things that are coming up. And you can check out some of the other products I have. Kits for traveling with no jet lag or overcoming jet lag and all kinds of fun things.
Yeah, and that's something that's really interesting too. Like you have the thyroid kit. The jet lag thing is wonderful.
I have one for body care and body and health care providers to keep them healthier. Let's see.
Cool.
My original kit was called the Energy Balance Symbols for Our power symbols for balanced energy, which is all about the chakras, which all have to do with the healing process as well, as you have to keep them open in order to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of built into all the kits.
Excellent.
And the belief transformation stuff is in every kit. One other thing you mentioned that I forgot to mention is this virus kit also includes a thymus symbol.
Ah, yes, very important.
It is very important. And one of the things that really is important is making sure that we talked about beliefs. One of the strongest statements that I use all the time is, I'm totally and completely healthy. I say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's fun, we did this with a child that was having some issues, and what we did was we came up with a little rhyme song that was, every little cell in my body is healthy.
Uh-huh.
Every little cell in my body is well. And the kids started singing it and got better.
Oh, cool.
You know, because you just get that, you know, that subconscious starts just taking all that in. So, you know, little things like that can really shift the energy in the body.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I hope people are really taking notice. So, again, it's...
my website is empoweredspirit.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the flu and virus kit is energytuneup.com.
Excellent. That is hopefully enough information for people. And, you know, people, you can always drop me an email, too, and I'd be happy to let you know. So it's time for us to shuffle off down the road here. So thank you again for being on, and I hope people have woken up to what's going on here so they can help themselves.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I also on that webpage, just so they know, there's a recording that talks more about some of the other things that are going on with flu and viruses and colds and stuff.
Okay.
So check it all out. And, Dr. Valerie, thank you very much for having me on the call tonight.
You bet. Thanks for being on, Crystalia. And listeners, I hope that this has given you what you need. And until next week, as always, be healthy, be happy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
BBS Radio.com